you haven't seen Sister Act 2, where have you been all your life? Who's seen that scene before? So good. So good. So we're talking about Joy Story this morning. And for me, as soon as I knew I was doing it, I was like, joyful, joyful. Couldn't get it out of my head. I've been singing it for weeks in my shower. And honestly, I don't want to gas myself up too much, but I literally sound like Lauryn Hill in the shower at the minute. I've got every single riff, every ad lib, and I mean, the guy at the end that comes on, I can even do that. I can do the rap, you know, but I have been practicing from a young age. When we were younger, probably when I was about 13, and Live Free is the youth now, but back then, it was called 220. For all the old people, I do class myself as old now, I'm getting there. And every week, don't even ask me why we used to do this, but every single week we used to open Two Tuck, which was the tuck shop, and we used to put this song on. I can see my old youth leader smiling at me because he knows we used to do this. And we used to do a performance of Joyful, Joyful. Now, my friend, who was the best singer, she got to be Lauryn Hill. But guess who I was? Backflip guy. So I used to do gymnastics. So I used to wait in the corner like this. Sorry, camera guys. I used to wait in the corner. And then when it was my turn, I'd run on, do a backflip. And everyone was like, woo! Well, everyone, the five people in the tuck shop, woo! So, you know, it's got fond memories in my heart. So that's why this morning we're talking about Joyful, Joyful. If you were here last week, you'll know that Kofi Afram brought a fantastic message about joy. And he gave us a little, is it called an acronym? An acronym for it, which would be Jesus first, others second, yourself last. And this morning I wanted to bring a little bit more about Jesus first and a little bit about how putting Jesus first is how you get joy into your life. And maybe to unpack what joy is a little bit more, because I think maybe we think it's something different than it is often. So I'll read out the verse to you, and then I'm going to break it up. 1 second, I'm spitting feb. So the verse is, joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, and hail thee as the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. Amazing. And I feel like sometimes it's only when you see the lyrics that you're like, that's amazing. I thought it was just a really good song off a film. And also, it was written as a hymn before that, by the way, guys. It's not off Sister Act 2. But I want to look at Joyful, Joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. This year, I started on something called Keys to Freedom, and we have spoken about it. It's a journey that we do here at TCC, and it's fantastic. And I went on the training, and as part of doing it, you have to do the course first, and I wanted to, of course. So during Keys to Freedom this year, it's unpacked a lot of things for me. Let's just say, you know, I thought I'd just do it like a lot of courses I've done, know it all, done it all before, you know, it's fine. Well, broke me and rebuilt me. So in a positive way, it was fantastic. But something that Keys to Freedom really opened up to me is, who do I say God is? Who do I believe that God really is? So often we sing songs about miracle worker, you know, light in the darkness, you know, God of glory, Lord of love. And we say these things, but we don't always mean them. Now, maybe you do, but me, as you'll see, I'm basically bearing my soul, being honest with you, and judge me all you like, because I am not okay. Especially after doing Keys of Freedom, I was like, ugh. But part of it was that I realized who I say God is isn't necessarily who I think he is. It's just who I think I should say he is. And during Keys to Freedom, one of the things we did was ask God who we believe him to be. And actually, I didn't believe that he was those things that I was saying he was. Because often who we really think God is can be shaped by our experience of life. And because of our experience, we then think that that's who God is. And that can be excellent experience. It can be negative experience. And that is then who we say God is. That's who we believe him to be. So we can say things, but really our lives show something different. I want to read to you from Matthew 16, 13 to 20. In school, I went to Deanery High School, we hammered this. I think the module must have been on it. And when I was reading this, I was literally like, we did this in Deanery so many times. Anyway, this is what it says. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. Excuse me, I've got a cold. I don't want to sniff down the microphone. But what about you, he asked, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And it goes on to encourage him. Just what I wanted to ask you is, who do you really say God is? And I don't just mean who do you say he is, who do you voice that he is, who do you sing that he is, but who do you really believe that he is? Because that really shapes our and determines what we really believe for and how we actually live day to day. And in that verse, it talks about it's not revealed to you by flesh and blood. But actually, we have to fight against our flesh and against our experience sometimes that tells us this is who God is. So you prayed for something to happen, that didn't happen. So God, therefore, is not a miracle worker. This is my journey. The things that I hoped and prayed for, I put it all into one box of like, God never came through on it. So not really a miracle worker. That's what I really felt like, and that's what doing Keys Freedom as we uncovered it, that's what who I thought he really was. But as we open up to God, he takes away that and can show us who he really is, not just who our experience shows us that he might be, and our disappointments and our humanity shows us. We put humanity on God, and that's not who he is. The second verse that relates to that is, hearts unfold like flowers before thee, hail thee as the sun above. Just a little note on this to say, if you bring your heart to God, it opens up like a flower to the sun. And I don't just mean if it's your first time here today or if it's your first time hearing about God. That is, if you bring your heart to him, he'll open it up and he can show you new things and teach you and you can learn with him. But actually every single person here, whether you said you believed in God and you gave your life to him like 50 years ago, we don't just then keep our hearts to ourselves and never give them to him again. We have to keep bringing our heart to God and saying, God, open my heart up to you. Open my heart up to what needs to change. And as you do, he opens it up to as like a flower to the sun, and all the layers and all the petals peel back and we start to get closer to God as we open up more and more. So I encourage you, ask God to reveal to you who you say he is and help him to work you through that. But you have to bring your heart to him in order to do that. This next one, melt the clouds of sin and sadness and drive the dark of doubt away. Again, keys to freedom like alert for me. P.S. I am selling keys to freedom here. Like it's really helped me out. But also, you know, just sign up if you want to do it. Don't all rush to it because there's pretty big queue. If I'm talking about our hearts as being flowers, opening up to the sun, if there is a cloud of sin between the flower and the sun, you're not going to flourish and you're not going to open up in the way that you could do if that cloud of sin wasn't there. Now, I don't know if it's just me. I'll make a lot of statements that I don't know if it's just me. I actually don't think it's just me, but I just think it's a little misconception of Christians. That once you're a Christian, you don't have sin. We all have sin. And just because it's not necessarily out in the open, guys, we all have it. And so whether you don't know God today or whether you do, we all have a sin, and it can all be a cloud that's blocking our access to the sun and hindering our growth. And for me, one of the sins that I came across in Keys to Freedom again was unforgiveness. And maybe we don't feel like that is even a sin, or there's lots of different things. But for me, as God revealed who he was, and I started to work, process some of that forgiveness, it was actually unforgiveness towards God. He hadn't even done anything wrong to me. This is all like, you know, all in my head I am. But as we start to do that, that cloud of sin can start to move out of the way and we can get close access once again to God and we can start to flourish once again. And always that you can drive the dark of doubt away. Okay. Like, I'm literal doubting Thomas is here. Seriously. So the other night, I have a daughter. We have a daughter. Sorry, me and my husband. And a son. The daughter that shouted in the microphone at the end of the nativity. That one's mine. Ben was putting her to bed the other night, and she chooses about 500 stories. We've managed to whittle it down to two because I'm not up for sitting there for half an hour reading millions of stories. Don't know about these super mums, but nah, it's like bedtime, get to sleep. So she chose Ben lets her read loads of books compared to me, but he's more gracious. So anyway, she'd chosen a Bible story. I don't even know which one, but it was about a man, and he asked for his skin to be healed, and he was healed. So Eden has eczema, and if you've got eczema, you know that in winter especially, and the change in temperature, it's awful. And as a four-year-old, she just hacks away. She doesn't understand, like, don't scratch, because that makes it worse. And her eczema was quite bad. This was literally the week. And so she read the Bible story, and then she said to Ben, Daddy, I'm going to pray for God to heal my skin now. So she did. And Ben came down and told me this story. And I started crying. Now, I should have definitely started crying because I was thinking, oh, like, what amazing faith my daughter has. But hello, doubting Tom. I was actually cried. And I said to Ben, but what about when she wakes up in the morning and her skin isn't healed? And Ben said to me, Han, I'm trying to teach our daughter about faith, not about doubt and not about fear. And do you know what? Eden woke up in the morning, whether her skin was better or not was actually irrelevant to her. She prayed a prayer in faith and believed that it would happen because she'd learned that that's who God was and God could do it. And I want to encourage you to, if you feel like you are quite doubting, and not necessarily things like that, we can doubt about a lot of things. If sometimes we have a dark of doubt looming over us, and again, that's blocking the sun. You're in the darkness, and the flower can't open up in the same way. So for me, that was a big one. And I hope that by me being honest, you can feel like, okay, maybe these things, everybody else feels like them. But I feel like we have to bring our hearts to God and ask him to reveal these things to us sometimes, because we can be blind from them. Or maybe we just don't think we have any issues. Maybe I thought I didn't. Anyway, I had a few issues, but I didn't think that I had as many things that God wanted to reveal to me as he did and as he has and he is now. I've learned to open my heart to him. So, yeah, I encourage you to do that. But this last part I want to talk about, giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. Giver of immortal gladness. I feel like that's such a cool phrase. And I was like, what does that even mean? But it's so good. So I had a look. I had a bit of a pray and a bit of research. And something that I did really want to encourage you, that Siobhan already mentioned just before, that there is a massive difference, and let's be clear about this, between happiness and joy. I feel like what people are trying to search for in life is happiness. And of course, we want to be happy. I'm not saying happiness is not a good thing. We want to be happy, and it's a great feeling. But joy and happiness are not the same thing. And seeking out happiness will never fulfill the void of missing joy. When I was thinking, actually, it was like a few months ago. I don't know what, we must have been learning about joy in some context or talking about it. And so I said to Ben, if you can think of one, this is the kind of thing I do to Ben, it's so tight. He literally wants to talk about really like deep, theological, like, and I'm like, oh, like, let's just have fun. So one of the things, to be honest, this is quite deep for me. I was like, of all the people that we know, who would you say has joy? Like, who would pop into your head? Because obviously I was asking because I knew. And I was like, if he doesn't say the same person, then what's wrong with him? Because like, obviously it's this person. Anyway, he said someone else. I was like, yeah, but what about? And then, so I'm not going to mention who this person is, but if you know them, you know this. What I'm going to say. And they're a part of this community. And this man, for me, demonstrates what joy is. So he and his wife have been through years and years and years of hardship. His wife's been really unwell for so many years. It's got positive, and then it's gone drastically wrong again. And she's got a bit better, and she's been in hospital again. It's been like such a sad journey and such bad diagnosis. Not what you want for life, is it? You want to feel happy, you want everyone to be well. But this is the difference between joy and happiness. This man, I describe him as joyful, like deep joy. Like God has given him such a joy that despite whatever's going on, he has joy. The joy of the Lord is his strength. And I want to read about that verse to you. And it's in Nehemiah 8:10. And Nehemiah was asked by God to rebuild a wall. And as he was going to do it, he had loads of opposition. And when he was doing it, he had loads of opposition. It just wasn't an easy ride, like most things in life, right? Most things aren't smooth sailing. And in Nehemiah 8:10, it says, Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some of those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of your Lord, joy of the Lord is your strength." So actually, I've been thinking about this for a few weeks. Like, what does that even mean? Like, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Like, what does that mean? Like, because God is full of joy, that makes you strong? Or, like, is it the joy of the Lord? Like, we're the joy of the Lord, so is that our strength? Like, I was just thinking of, like, all the different things. Like, what could that even mean? And when I researched it, what the words actually mean, the roots are in Hebrew, it made it a bit clearer to me. And then I was like, oh my goodness, it actually links in with the song. God must have been a part of this talk. I've not made it all up. So anyway, I'll tell you, got a bit excited. The Hebrew word for joy in that sentence that Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is your strength, is chedva, right? I remembered it like it's like cheddar. So I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, but this is what you have to work with this morning. Yeah, a bit of cheese. And the word chedva means gladness in Hebrew. And the Hebrew for strength in this verse, I'm definitely saying this wrong, is ma'uz. M-A-W-O-Z-E, ma'uz. And that means safety or refuge. So actually, if we want to think about that sentence in a different way, it means, I just want to go back and say, chedva means gladness, but it also means a cause to rejoice. So the joy of the Lord is actually about a cause to rejoice. The Lord is our safety and refuge. When you know God and you know deep joy, you know that you can have gladness and you always have a cause to rejoice in every single situation. And because you have that cause to rejoice, that becomes your refuge. So no matter what's going on around you, you know that God sent his son for you and his grace, and that he lived and died for us, for our sin, so that we can always have a cause to rejoice, no matter how dangerous it's feeling or how lost we feel. That is our refuge and that is our thing that holds us down. And this is what I want to encourage you about this morning, that we don't just ask God for happiness, but that we ask him for immortal gladness. That we say, God, help us not to seek out happiness or fads or relationships or anything just to fill a void, but that we actually ask God, remind me that I always have a cause to rejoice. Remind me that I have a gladness that is far more than surface level, so that I can always feel safe. I can always find my safety in you in the storm. And back to that guy that I was talking about. For me, he knows he has a cause to rejoice. He knows that God saved him. And in that song, further on, I need to just remember it. I could sing it, but I just don't want to embarrass Lauren Hill. It's like, he says something about like, oh, he watches over everything. He watches over everything. I'm much better than that. I don't want to do it. No, seriously, though, I am not a bad singer. I just don't want to do it in front of you guys. I'm actually not kidding. I know you're laughing, but I just want to be clear on that. He says he watches over everything, so we sing, joyful, joyful, we adore thee. And he does. It feels like you're on your own. It feels like he's not watching over everything. It feels like, where are you, God? Honestly, sometimes I'm talking like, God, like, you could just fix this. Like, where are you? And then that's when I have to remember who he really is. Joyful Lord, we adore thee. God of glory, Lord of love. He's the Lord of love, so he doesn't want to bring hate to our lives. He doesn't want to bring pain. But actually, he also knows that it's not about happiness. We have to find a cause to rejoice, and we have to come back to the reason why we rejoice. And I just encourage you this Christmas to think about, what does joy, do you have joy? Actually, I honestly believe that joy only comes from God. Because he's the cause to rejoice, the fact that he sent his son as a baby. In the midst of, not being funny, but Mary was like really young, probs like didn't want a baby. Like just like, you know, didn't really have anywhere to live, had to like walk. Matt, like, it's not a fun situation. It's not like happiness, like, woo, I'm pregnant, and I'm, you know, like, I gotta tell my husband that I'm pregnant and he doesn't even know why. And like, that's not fun, that's not happy. But out of a situation that's messy and out of a situation that's painful comes joy. And then joy went to die for us so that we can now live in the freedom of living in joy. So I encourage you, please do not live your life looking for something faddy, looking for happiness, seeking out something that is very temporary. But I also believe that in order to get to that point, we need to ask God, who are you really? Bring our heart to him and say, show me who you are really, because I don't really know, or I'm a bit distorted, or clarify, God, who I believe you are, that's who you are. We need to recognize the clouds of sin in our life and not just ignore them and pretend that they're all right. They're just giving us a bit of shade, or we don't want to remove them because then the sun will really see what's going on. You can already see. It's just that you can't see as clearly. So let's look at our lives and start to remove some sin. Let's get rid of the dark of doubt. Try your best. And then we can ask him, God, fill us with immortal gladness and fill us with the light of day. Fill us with you. And for me, that is joy. It's pain. It's joy in pain. For me, joy stories, the best joy stories, it's not fair to say the best because it's a bit tight on other people, but most joy stories that are actual joy stories, not just like, oh, there was a dead happy time. Like, actual joy stories often come from painful situation where you know you have a cause to rejoice. And so let's not despise pain. It's hard and nobody wants it. But let's remember that just because we're experiencing pain doesn't mean that God isn't in the midst of it. And that is something that I'm still learning. And yeah, like every day I'm like, God help me, because I need some help. But that's all I have to say. But I'd like to just bring a bit of a challenge to us all. If you are here and you call yourself like a disciple of Jesus, like a follower of God, I want to encourage you to think about this verse. I'll read it again to you. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee and hail thee as the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness and drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. And I want to encourage you, if any part of that this morning has pulled a chord in your heart, then please listen to it and please follow it. And don't just listen and think, oh yeah, that was nice, like maybe one day I'll deal with everything that's going on and the clouds and the darkness and, you know, but I'm all right for now. I encourage you this Christmas time, just open, bring your heart to him and he'll open it like a flower to the sun. And you'll start, and sometimes it's a bit uncomfortable peeling back those layers, but as you do, honestly, like the clarity that I've got and the understanding and actually the closeness that I've gained by bringing my heart to God and letting him open it, even though it's been uncomfortable, has actually brought me into a much better place. And actually, I understand who God is more, and I'm not letting my experiences try and dictate who he is. And if you're here this morning and perhaps you don't believe in God, or you thought, oh, like I've never really thought about it, or, you know, I'm not sure, but I'd like to experience joy, then I'd like to speak to you and encourage you that it is different from happiness. And we struggle to find it in, and you might feel like you find joy temporarily, or it feels like that. But actually, it's often happiness and deep joy can only come from meeting with God and having your life transformed and realizing that he is the cause to rejoice in our situations. So if you just want to bow your heads, I just want to give everybody a bit of privacy. But I do want to pray, especially for if that second thing that I just said was you, if you're feeling like, okay, I feel like I want to experience joy, but I don't think I have, and I know the first step is coming to understand who God is. And actually, as a Christian, as someone who's like claimed to know God for a very long time, I've been in church my whole life, I've always known about God. Actually, I didn't, and I still don't know who he is in the fullness of who he is. It's a journey for us all, and I think maybe you are thinking, well, actually, like, oh, if God's all the things I think he is, then why would I even want to come and open my heart to him? I understand that. But what I want to say to you is don't let your negative experience and the pain and the hurt that you've experienced hinder you from coming to know who God really is. And don't let that taint who he really is. And if you'd like to take a first step to saying, okay, God, like, either I'd like to come and try again and see how things are, or if you want to say, God, this is the first time, I don't really know what it means, but I just want to say, yeah, like, let's start getting to know each other. If that's you, I just want you to lift your hand. No one's looking around but me, and I'll just start acknowledging it, and then I'm just going to pray for us all.